Yesterday we started off a report from the Sci-Fi Scarborough event in, obviously, 2017 by saying it's the weekend of Countryside Links. So it's only fair that having mentioned Sci-Fi Scarborough once, we'll say Countryside Links is where we are today, speaking to the legend that is the awesomeness of Jane Southall. Jane, good to see you as ever.
Hello, good morning, Alex.
Well, once again, the weather has improved tremendously as we move from one side to ensure that people can actually have access to the building in and out from that point of view. Jane, we were speaking to Rosie a week or so ago. She was looking forward to a tremendous... In fact, she's just passed us by, as ever. And once again, it seems as though it's going to get bigger, better, brighter, and the weather once again is superb.
Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, it's much bigger this year than last year, and we'll just see it continue to grow as an event. And, yeah, we've got the sun on our side, haven't we, today, which is fab.
As ever, we've got two fabulous midweek drivers with us. We have Katie Dore and Eva McDonald. Katie, thoughts from yourself?
What are the highlights we can look forward to today?
Well, there's lots to see, really. There's lots to see and do. We've got lots of different zones. We've got a make-it zone so children can learn about bread making, etc., and sausage making, and the storytelling. If they want to listen to stories being told, they can have a tractor and trailer ride. We've got the sheep show, but everyone loves the sheep show. And then we've got the animals for them if they want to see the animals. There's lots, really, for them to see and do.
Eva?
What part of the show are you looking forward to the most?
I think I'd just like to see the families here. That's why we've done it on a Sunday, so it attracts everybody as a family, because we're all so busy these days, aren't we, working? So it's nice to see the families here and the children playing, because it's a 275-acre site, so they can just run about and be free.
We do have, indeed, our very own reporter family, Steve Court, coming on with his family for the first ever experience of Countryside Link, so they'll be joining us later.
Oh, yeah, he can be our secret shopper, can't he? He can say what he liked and didn't like.
And as he's one of Mouthpiece Poet's former finest sort of folk, etc., he can do his poetic things as well.
He can do, yes. Turn it into a poem for next year.
Precisely. Jane, as I say, this is the third one. I mean, I find it amazing how within 3 years this has grown from, I think the first year it was a little bit, small but perfectly formed with wonderful weather conditions, not...
But
again, that sort of gamble of actually sort of exploring something and becoming a kickstarter to the season, it's really working, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah, and I think it's probably a good time of year. And also, even though the weather was not great in year one, we took that on board, and now we use the Epic and the Exhibition Hall, so there's lots of undercover things to do. So the rain shouldn't really put people off, but as you say, last year and this year we've been lucky.
Personally looking forward to the giant tortoises that are coming through.
Yes, they're lovely. They're always a crowd puller, aren't they?
As ever. In fact, I think, you know, that's probably the one thing that Elton John was missing last year, the giant tortoise.
I'm sure we'd have sold more than 17,000 tickets if we'd have got a giant tortoise on stage.
Exactly. Eva, of course, you were there for that event.
I was, yes, it was a very good event. I liked it. I actually knew three songs.
Right.
Which is always
really
important.
Yeah, it's always a bonus if you're going to a concert.
And, of course, this year we've got some more sort of concert goings as well, because even more sort of wonderment is scheduled for later in the year.
Yeah, we've got Razor Like and Feeder, and then we've got Human League and... can't remember the next one, sorry. Human League. I should know it. You might have to do bleep
fine.
On that one. But I do know Human League. In fact, I went the first time round. That so shows how old I am.
I can't believe that. You know, it's only because we're human. That's I mean, you know, we, of course we want you, Jane, all the time. It's a classic line. So great. So that, and again, it shows how much tremendous sort of work is going into the show. Again, referring back to Rosie's last midweek drive, we had Adrian Johnston on there, and Adrian was fulsome in his praise, because it does seem as though you've got a crack team here that are working superbly to get it right.
Oh yeah, we've got a great team, and you couldn't do it on your own. It's not down to one person, it's down to everybody, and they're all passionate and all keen to make it work. And it's a great venue, and we're getting busier and busier, and now we're coming up with more ideas ourselves of things that we can do, other events that we can add on to, really. So yeah, just watch this space.
Katie, you were here last year, of course, with Ed Wellman, and that was your first Countryside Links. This is your second. Thoughts from yourself?
I'm just really looking forward to seeing all the new things today, and yes, it should be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, well, we appreciate your feedback after.
Very impressed with how Rosie has sort of shot past you in one sense, and then Sally Mundy shoots past you in the other sort of way. It's phenomenal. They're just like whirling dervishes in all sorts of ways.
Yeah, well, as I said again, everyone's busy. It opens at 10, so everyone's busy setting up, etc. So, but yeah, most of the team are on site now, so...
And we'll go around and start having some chats with some of the exhibitors and hopefully get some general flavour aspects from that. And then before you know it, it'll be time for the 2017 Lincolnshire Show.
It will be. Not long now.
Eva, we've started our little promenade and we've already been attracted to the giant lizard head there.
We have. I'm just having a look at what's here and it looks very interesting.
And I even see Selfie with Santa, which is one of the two routines there, which is extraordinary. We're speaking now to the fabulous...
Margaret.
And...
Linda.
Now, Margaret, share with us. You've got, obviously, the Museum of Lincolnshire Life, the collection, the battles, dynasties, and more, sort of the Usher Gallery. What have you established here?
Well, we're Heritage, Lincolnshire Heritage, and we're here to promote all the fantastic things that people can come and do at our museums and galleries. As you just said, he's actually a dinosaur head. He's not a lizard.
I thought he was a Gorn, actually, from the Arena episode of Star Trek for a moment, but, you know, that was yesterday.
We're going to have a fantastic night at the collection with the dinosaur. Linda is the expert on that, so maybe you'd like to have a quick word with her about the night with the dinosaur.
Linda, clearly, having a night with a dinosaur could be taken in so many ways, which I won't even go into now, but thoughts, please.
So it's a really popular event that we've had on for the previous 2 years. It's part of Museums at Night, which is, I think it's actually an international festival where museums stay open in the evening. So as with the previous 2 years, we've got this life-size dinosaur who's animated, and he walks.
Comes
around.
Alive.
He's alive. He chases children around. He scares them. He comes with a handler who stops him from eating anybody on the night.
So that's on safety issue here. I can tell it's been addressed.
Yeah, it's been really, really popular the last couple of years. So we're running that again this year. That's on the 19th of May.
Katie,
your outfit, Linda, is amazing. Can you tell me a bit about it?
Today I'm a Viking. So typical Viking outfit. We've got all kinds of things for you to do. You can come and dress up and do your own selfies today as different historical characters.
I think we may actually have both Katie and Eva trying one of those helmets on before too long. But Eva, thoughts for yourself?
Well, if I try on a helmet, I don't think it'll fit. I've got quite a big head.
Oh.
So
that sounds like a challenge.
There are different sizes.
Have we got a variety of helmet sizes there that we can actually work through from this?
Soft ones. Okay. All kinds. Adults and children are welcome.
Okay. Shall we try Eva with the soft Viking head then? So sort of work our way through this. There we are.
I probably won't.
This could be a whole routine.
I think I'll have to hold it on.
Is this your first Countryside Links?
It is, yeah. We've been to the Lincolnshire show, but it's the first Countryside Link.
Which is very good from that perspective. How's it going, Eva?
Well, it's not really fitting. I'm going to have to hold it if we pose for a picture.
I think that'll be fine. And returning back to your good self again, the sort of the range of aspects that you're responsible for.
Well, I actually work at the Museum of Lincolnshire Life, and so we've brought along some of our lovely loans boxes. These are boxes of artefacts that schools or community groups can come along and actually loan from the museum. And they're absolutely fabulous if you're doing a topic on the Victorians, or sometimes people use them for reminiscence sessions, so we're showcasing those. And over the Easter weekend at the museum, we're having Museums Alive, where the museum comes to life with characters in the room sets. So you can come along and find out what it was like in Victorian times, from the parlour maid. We're going to have a printer in the printer shop. We're going to have a pop-up sweet shop. And one of our gentlemen who works at the museum will be riding around on a penny farthing. So you don't see many of those around these days.
It's like a genuine time machine. Katie?
It's fascinating. There's also an intriguing box by my feet. Full of gravel and brushes.
Yeah, that's from the collection again. That's our portable big dig. So the big dig is something that schools come and do if they come to the collection. We also do it as part of our birthday parties. It's going to be available on the dinosaur night as well. Today children can come and use paintbrushes and trowels and try to excavate a range of real artefacts that are in there.
Eva.
And what's all the arts and crafts on the table for?
This is a craft activity that the children can come and take part in, all to do with promoting the night with the dinosaur. And so the children can come along and make a paper plate dinosaur. I'll get an example out so you can have a look. And the premise is that although we know a lot about dinosaurs because of all the bones that have been excavated and there's a lot of skeletons, we actually don't have any idea really of what they looked like on the outside. So are they feathered or furred? I mean, we assume that they were like most animals and probably camouflaged into the background, but why Why is that necessarily so? So you can come along and make a bright pink dinosaur, and we've got lots of texture.
Is Barney going to be around?
Well, yeah, so they probably get their inspiration, the children, from Barney. But no, they can come along and create their very own paper plate dinosaur.
Wonderful. Katie?
He's a rather fabulous zebra dinosaur. He looks really quite dashing, actually. Yeah.
And I've got to ask the question, selfies with Santa. I mean, surely we haven't even got to Easter yet. Are we planning ahead?
No, you've just caught us early and we haven't rubbed it
off.
Unfortunately. It's going to be the historical selfies.
There we are, you see. So it all makes perfect sense there.
Selfies with the dinosaur, which they want.
Wolf Hall, fabulous book by Miss Mantell, and it's being manifested here at the Countryside Links event by...
Victoria Mason-Hines from Gainsborough Hall.
And you've gone costume crazy, haven't you, Victoria?
Oh, we always like to show up in force, definitely. We've got mixtures of Vikings, Tudors, medieval, so we're covering a wide range.
It's like a time zone gone crazy in some bizarre episode of Doctor Who. Eva?
It is, it really is. So what are you exhibiting today? What's your little showcase consisting of?
Well, there's a number of us from different museums today. We've got medieval food in the tent here from Forgotten Fair. We're talking, obviously, about Gainsborough Hall and also the Wolf Hall exhibition. You've got the collection and Lincoln Castle all talking about the events that they've got coming up as well.
I did say it wouldn't be political, but it has been noted that Brexit is very similar to the kind of challenges that Henry VIII was faced when he decided to actually sort of step away from Europe. The title of the exhibition is From Rags to Riches. It's running from the 29th of April to the 28th of August. Is it done deliberately with respect to, let's look back at our medieval people, find out how they coped with Brexit?
Well, Henry was a Tudor, so he wasn't a medieval.
That's nicely true.
But no.
Just checking that.
Henry, obviously, we have links with Henry VIII. He came to visit Gainsborough Hall. One of his wives, Catherine Parr, was married to the son of Lord Borough, so we've got links with that wife, and he brought Catherine Howard as well. So we're just going with the links that the old hall's already got with Henry.
Sensible. Katie?
So if people can't get here today, how can they visit Gainsborough Hall and what can they see there?
Well, Gainsborough Hall is the best preserved timber frame manor house in the country, with the best medieval kitchens that are still working. So we're open all year round, 7 days a week. We're only shut 2 weeks over Christmas. So you can come and see us whenever and say, and if you wait until Wolf Hall comes and the end of April, all the way through to August, you'll be able to see that as well.
There's always that moment, Katie, where you make a connection between seeing a sign, in this particular case, Dog and Duck Show, and thinking, oh, I've already met this person before. I'll just say a quick hello. He denies all knowledge. It happens to me on a regular basis.
Well, I don't know what to say, Alex. It's understandable sometimes.
Yeah, quite rightly so. But we are delighted to be able to speak to...
Jason.
Jason from Dog and Duck, and from that awesome, awesome East Anglian location that actually provides so many things, including the sheep show as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, I'm from Dereham, all the way from Norfolk. So it's not a million miles away, but it's definitely East Anglia region,
Thank
isn't
you.
It?
Well, you see, at least we're in the right country. You know, that's the important thing. What with the Great Yorkshire Show, what with the Lincolnshire Show, what with Countryside Links, sometimes it gets confusing following you guys around.
Oh, yeah, we go to every show imaginable, and then some, and even some private events, you know, if we get booked for it.
Now, last year, I know that your colleague who was here was at pains to point out that unlike the mega Lincolnshire show, of course, and the Yorkshire show, the Great Yorkshire show, where the stage is quite high up, etc., the beauty of this sort of event is that the children can actually run up and really sort of get engaged with the whole process.
Yeah, so our show is obviously the arena act, and we are on ground level, so you can actually see the dogs working from your own point of view. And mostly, if we have the ducks, we can get the children involved. Of course, the sheep are a bit more larger than runner ducks, but the children can definitely get right close to the fence and right intimate, and we can walk the sheep right past them.
And you don't, of course, have to worry about shaving the ducks, or indeed the dogs, really, whereas the sheep, we won't go there. Ava?
So where is this exhibition based? Is it like an on-the-road thing, or is it back in Norfolk, as you said?
So basically HQ is back in Norfolk. It's actually near Fakenham, but the actual displays happen at like this show at the Countryside Links show, and we go to Jersey, Isle of Man, Scotland, London, you name it. So we do the events at shows, and we take bookings for that, displaying our dogs, yeah.
What can people expect to see?
People can expect to see working dogs, and I will actually give some information and helpful tips on how to train your dogs in a nice positive way, so without having to be shouty at your dog, by staying calm. So I'll give lots of advice on calming your dog down, reinforcing the positive nature, and I'll actually be demonstrating that myself with my own dogs.
Sounds like mother's partner's dog needs a bit of this, because she's very lively. She'd need calming down a lot. She's a puppy Dalmatian.
So if she's a puppy, so you've got all ahead of you. I'm sure if they brought her down here today, I'll be able to give her a few tips.
And of course, Stuart, whose book is based on Dog and Duck, because he's a Dog and Duck man in many ways, let's give him a shameless plug for his book, which you can purchase as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Stuart's book is called The Way of the Dog, Training by Instinct. You can find it on our website as dogandduckshow.co.uk. And follow the links. You can buy it on Amazon as well. We also have a second book called Way of the Explorer, which is about Stuart's travelling and how he learnt and how his wife learnt about training the dogs. So we have a follow-up book to that. But it's basically our blueprint for the show. It's Stuart's the mastermind behind this whole show experience.
And Stuart, clearly you need to actually increase the salary for the, or at least provide commission for that wonderful plug there, which is, you know, just shows that the esprit de corps is carried out there.
Well, I'll give him this one for free, but if I sell his books, I'll charge commission.
Where do you head off to after the Countryside Links? Because in many ways, this is kind of the start of the whole 2017 show season.
Oh, absolutely. For myself personally, this is my very first event, so I've got to blow the cobwebs out. Warren himself, this is his third event. After this, we're still waiting to hear from the East Anglian Game and Country Fair. Obviously, we have the avian flu restrictions, so we have to be very careful with the ducks, hence why we have sheep here today. But we'll be at numerous shows all over the country, like the Norfolk Show, the Suffolk Show, the Lincolnshire Show, of course. We'll be at Nottingham at some point, and Newark Show, and many, many more, let's say.
The Nottingham County Show, of course, with Adrian Johnston, pretty much just around the corner. It's amazing how quickly time flies.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll soon be here, and then we'll be here next year again as well, I suppose.
Katie, any final thoughts?
Just how many sheep have you got with you today?
I've actually got 5 gorgeous Cheviot Cross sheep. They're about 18 months old, they're fit and ready to go, and they're my babies, they are.
Katie, you've brought us to the Basset Hound area, and already you've made lots of friends. They're all sorted out here.
They are indeed. Yes, they're getting rather friendly.
Yeah, exactly. So you said you were under strict instructions to take a photograph of one of these for your mum?
Yes, we should probably ask the experts, but I think they're working Basset Hounds, and they're just beautiful, beautiful dogs.
Right.
So...
Let's just actually have a word with one of these fine folk, because clearly we're getting a whole range of things. So can I grab a few words with your good self for Siren FM and Southside Broadcasting, please, because we're very impressed with your control here. Share with us what you've got here.
Well, we've got the East Links Basset Hounds here, so we spend our time hunting on foot in the Lincolnshire Wolds and in the Fens around Boston. So we're mainly based sort of Horncastle and Louth and that area. By tradition, the hounds hunt hares, with everybody on foot. Since the Hunting Act 2004, we've laid a trail, also hunted rabbits and injured hares. That's sort of what we're allowed to do within the terms of the law. So really, the aim is to do that to ensure we continue breeding the hounds. Because these sort of hounds are quite unique. So we call Basset Hounds, but you'll notice they look quite different to the Basset Hounds you would sort of see in the street. And that's because they're crossbred with Harriers, which are sort of in between a Beagle and a Foxhound. And these hounds then are what we call English Bassets. And there's only about, 9 packs of them in the country. So they're pretty unique. So obviously we feel it's important to sort of keep breeding a working stock of these animals. As I said, everybody involved runs behind on foot, so I hunt the hounds myself and then have 5 or 6 people we call whippers in who assist with that, and then a field of usually between 20 and 30 people who are sort of supporters, and they come out to sort of see the hunting. And of course for them the interest is in seeing the hounds working together as a pack. We've only got 5.5 couple here today, but we usually hunt with about 15 couple, something like that, so that's 30-31 hounds in the field at any one time. But it also allows you access to countryside you wouldn't otherwise get into, because we have permission from the farmers and landowners, gamekeepers and such, meaning that we can really sort of cover a whole area, so not restricted to sort of roads and footpaths and things like that. So I think it gives people a sort of totally unique experience of visiting the countryside. This particular park started in its current form in 1972, when a chap called Rory Dicker brought a pack of hounds up from Hampshire, which he'd been hunting with since 1969. And he at that time had bassets and beagles. And the beagles went with him to Ireland in 1975. And that's sort of the time at which things sort of were set on the footing that they are now. So we're sort of approaching our 50th anniversary, I suppose. And
Captain Scarlet, a prisoner TV series, and Basset Hounds in Lincolnshire. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're, you know, the hunt's in pretty good health. I think hunting across Lincolnshire's in good health. The mounted packs see good support as well. And obviously we feel it's a really sort of key part of the rural part of Lincolnshire.
Katie?
They're fabulous hounds. I mean, compared to show bassets, they just look so healthy and happy and really lovely dogs.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I think was sought to do when the cross was made with the Harrier was to sort of reduce some of the extremes of the sort of what you might call the kennel club type or the sort of the French type. I mean, the original cross was made by a chap called Eric Morrison, who hunted the Westerby Bassets in Leicestershire in the 1950s. And he really sought to improve the type so that the hounds would have more stamina, be more agile, so that they could sort of cover the different types of the English countryside, the grassland, the ploughland, for sort of 4 or 5 hours at a time, 2 or 3 times a week, which is what we expect these hounds to do. So once you get into the hunting season, they're pretty fit. You can't be doing with the extremes of skin and the extreme sort of short leg and length of ear and things like that that sort of bassets you might see in the street would typically have. But equally, we seek to keep some of the characteristics. So you've got some of the physical characteristics, quite a large head. They are pretty low to the ground, and they do have the sort of the typical sort of booming voice that you would expect from a basset hound. Though that the cry is one of the specific things that people who hunt with them, they say that they like perhaps more than, say, hunting with beagles, which is the other typical sort of foot hunting option in the UK. We also have sort of the persistence that you get with basset hounds. They'll keep trying to sort of work the line where others might otherwise sort of stop and give up. And one of the things that helps them with that is they have a particularly sensitive nose. I think much more so than sort of other types of hound that we hunt with in the UK. So those are the kind of things that we like particularly about them.
Eva.
And they seem very lively today. Are they always this lively or a bit different?
They're probably excited about having a day out. So they'll be looking forward to that. I mean, a lot of people think of hunting hounds, well, they must be terribly vicious and all the rest of it. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, they live all together all the time. So we have the girls and the boys live separately. But I mean, we've got sort of 20 odd hounds all living, one lodge with one bed. They love seeing people, so there'll hopefully be a large gathering of children around here as the day goes on, and they'll really enjoy that.
And in terms of names, I think you're referring to one of those beeswax I've heard Holly mentioned. Can you give them name checks? Because obviously I don't want to have any of them left out here.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we've got Bellmaid, Vanity, Volley, Jolly, Vixen, Elder, Beeswax, Vortex and Glitter. So it's 5.5 couple, 11 hounds with us today. We've got 22 couple in the kennel, so that's 44, all with a name. And I can remember most of them most of the time. Every now and again you have a blank and you're looking at a hound and you think, I've got no idea at all this morning. Broadly speaking,
there's always one you forget. They usually tend to be the ones that sort of, you know, they've got some sort of social dysfunctional side of things, but never mind. Katie.
And how do they get their names?
Okay, well, that's a really good question. Just give me a minute.
David, can somebody be paying for the car?
So the names, it's all about the first letter. And the first letter relates to the line in which they're bred. So typically, and the rule I use, is that if the father, the sire, is from your own kennel, then you take the first letter from the bitch hound. If the sire is from an outside kennel, then you take his letter. So we've got, let me think, who's got here? So we've got, here's Volley. She's been a little bit silly this morning. So we've got Volley and Vortex, they're sisters. And their mother was Vodka. So we take V from Vodka, because the sire was Orion, who was our own doghound. So we take the V for Vodka.
And a bit too sort of frisky for a Sunday morning, I think, there, in all sorts of ways.
More energy than I have on a Sunday morning, that's for certain. The names allow us to trace the breeding back sometimes, for many generations.
Just a standard, an encyclopedic insight into the world of the Basset Hounds and the Lincolnshire group in particular. Many, many thanks indeed, and we look forward to seeing you again in the very near future.
Thank you very much.